You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
I just can't get over how awesome that intro is.
Yeah, it's a good intro.
It is.
How are you guys doing? Welcome to the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we are here to be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Welcome all.
Yes, welcome.
I thought you were about to say something there.
I was, and then I
then
I forgot.
You balked on me there.
All right,
fantastic. But anyway, if you're new to the show, it's welcome first and foremost. Get used to the Crispy Noodle Podcast. What we do is we bring you the best in sports, entertainment, and odd news. And it's a fun show. So definitely stick around. Get used to the Crispy Noodle Podcast because it's a good show, right?
That's right. It's the best show out there.
Yeah.
No, it's one of the few that puts sports, entertainment, and odd news all together and blends it with our unique, I guess that's a good word.
Very unique.
Unique sense of humor. That's the beauty of it. We are the Crispy Noodle in the vegetarian salad of life.
That's right.
So let's kick things off. Rich, how you doing?
I'm good. Yeah. How are you doing, Mike?
I'm pretty good. Had a packed weekend this past weekend. My cousin got married.
Woo!
So congratulations to her and her husband.
I think I might actually have appropriate music for this.
Oh, you have appropriate music.
Yeah, which is...
Because usually it's inappropriate music.
Yeah. There we go.
There you go.
I actually came through with appropriate music.
So congratulations to Chris and Lindsay Rains.
Oh, there
name.
You go.
It was a nice wedding. Good food. Good good company. What? I'm just...
I love that first thing. Oh, good food.
Good food, good company, good music. No, it was...
Yeah, the bride was all right. There was really good food, though. That was more important. I'm sorry.
But if you guys are listening, congratulations once again on tying the knot.
Should we give them an official best shout-out?
Sure.
Best of luck.
Second Lieutenant Jake Jensen, West Point, graduate with honors. We're here because you're looking for the best of the best of the best, sir.
Your boy Captain America over here. The best of the best of the best, sir. Yeah, with honors. You know, he's just really excited, and he has no clue why we're here.
Well, I hope he has some clue. But anyway, wish you guys the best.
Yes, congratulations. Wishing you guys many years of happiness and joy.
And where else are you going to get a shout-out like that?
I know, right?
Between...
If you want a personalized shout-out from the Crispy Noodle Podcast...
Yeah, definitely. Get in contact with the Crispy Noodle.
Hey, you have to be a fan first.
Yeah, that's right. Make sure you're a fan on Facebook, and you follow us on Twitter, at the Crispy Noodle.
All right.
And yeah, make sure you get on that Facebook.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
Yeah.
Facebook does a lot of things.
Not only like us, but you have to love us, too.
And hate us, apparently, according to that guy.
No, he hit it, not hate us.
Oh, hit
it. He says hit it.
Hit it?
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
Yeah, he says hit it.
Hit it.
Yeah, hit it, like it, love it. Everything that Facebook
Why are you
does.
Hitting things on Facebook?
Yeah.
Is there a hit option?
Yeah, you have to like slam the computer.
Slam the computer? I like this article very much. And then you slam the lid?
Yeah, that's what happens.
Okay.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
Yeah, so there you go.
There you go. Facebook should do that. No, they should, instead of like, they should have like hit and like
hit
and love. Yeah.
Well, that's important. I want to see some loves on Crispy Noodle. Yeah.
Yes.
Not just likes.
But loves. That's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, welcome
like
to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Now.
Yeah. So, anyway, speaking of hitting, let's get to some sports.
All right. Transition king over
yeah!
there.
Yeah. Woo. I came through on that one. All right. Okay. It could have been worse.
We all have those moments. I think last week I had a horrible brain fart. Look at that bitch. How dare she? She's so uptight. God. What was that?
You said that on the last show.
I said that?
Yes, you did.
Look at that bitch. How dare she? She's so uptight. God. What did I say that about...
I think we were talking about the girl from Knocked Up, and she felt that she was a bitch in that movie. And apparently that's what you as... Who was it? Catherine Heigl? Was it Catherine Heigl?
Catherine Heigl, yeah.
You as Catherine Heigl in your head. That's what you said.
Look at that bitch. How dare she? She's so uptight. God. Oh, my God.
So if Mike was a woman, there you go.
Wow. Look at that bitch. How dare she? She's so uptight. God. I have no recollection of that. That was funny.
Well, there you go.
Wow.
Just in case you're wondering if Mike turned out to be Melina or... Well, I don't know. Michelle? Would Michelle be the female?
Michelle, yeah.
Yeah. So
Melina. What am I, from Mortal Kombat?
Yes. All right. That's the only thing I know.
Finish him.
yeah. I'm sorry I went into Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, that's all right. Well, let's get back on track with... Well, wait. Fighting is a type of sport, right?
Oh, there you go.
Sports sampler.
So what do we got in the sports sampler?
In the sports sampler, as everybody knows, recently the NHL, the hockey and basketball seasons wrapped up with their respective championships. The Miami Heat win the NBA Finals in 7 games?
Yeah, I went to game 7.
7 games. At least it was a nice long series, right?
Yeah.
And the Chicago Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup in 6, I think. Correct?
Yeah.
6 games.
So I believe it's time for celebration.
That's right.
Woo!
So congratulations to the Miami Heat for winning the NBA Finals and the Chicago Blackhawks for winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, definitely two good stories to see there.
Yeah. We actually watched the NBA Finals, didn't we?
Yeah.
That last one.
Yeah, we watched that Game 7.
Game 7.
I got to admit, though, I felt sorry for the Spurs. They could have had that.
Yeah. It was close until the end.
Yeah.
Until the end, it was pretty close. I don't know. Are you kind of disappointed that the Heat won?
To be honest with you, I am a little bit.
It just seems so predictable. Oh, you mean the team with the best record and the best players won?
Yeah. Oh, go figure.
Shocker. Whoa.
Yeah.
But at least they took it to 7 games.
Yeah, Spurs took them the distance. And for a little bit in game 6, they were on elimination. The Heat were on the verge of being eliminated in that game 6. But unfortunately, they let the Heat come back, win game 6. And then game 7, they hung in there until the fourth quarter.
Almost.
And then the fourth quarter just killed them.
Man, the Heat, they were just draining threes left and right.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
One of the broadcasters had the best quote of the night. He said that when you're in a game 7 in any series.
Oh, I remember this one.
You don't win game 7. You survive game 7.
You survive it. That is a good quote.
That is what the Heat did. They
survived.
They survived. They made sure that the game never got out of contention when the Spurs were leading in the third quarter. You know, they made sure to limit their mistakes. And then when the opposite situation was at hand for the Spurs, when they were down in the fourth quarter, unfortunately, they let mistakes get to them and the lead got out of hand.
Yeah, they couldn't bring it back.
Yeah. That quote was appropriate. You don't win game 7. You survive a game 7.
Because at that point, both teams have proven that they could win.
Yeah.
And so at that point, it's not about who's better. It's about who can outlast the other one, really.
Who's going to make the least mistakes?
Right. You have two evenly matched teams. It's who, you know, comes out on top.
Yeah. And unfortunately, for those that wanted the underdog story to happen, it didn't pan out.
And of course, in Philly, we're all about underdogs. Although I thought a lot of Philly fans were Heat fans.
There was a trend
growing.
There was
a poll or something.
In North Philly, apparently, there's a lot of Heat. There was a lot of people that were back in the Heat.
Yeah. Well, you're going to get a lot of bandwagon jumpers with, you know, hot teams. Hot teams, the Heat.
But, you know, most of us in Philly, we wanted to see the underdog win.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, get, you know, a little bit of Rocky, you know, images. But,
and that would have been great for the Spurs to beat the Heat. I mean, the Heat, the defending champions, they bought all those big-name players. You know, it would have been a great story if the Spurs could upset them.
Yeah, but unfortunately, it wasn't meant to be.
What are you going to do?
The Heat are the first back-to-back defending champions since the Lakers, I believe.
Wow. And my dad made an interesting point. He said that he wanted to see the Heat win because he likes the idea of a dynasty.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't like the idea of a dynasty?
I don't, because what happens is... Number one, you inevitably, especially in basketball, you inevitably begin to compare players to Michael Jordan or
right. Or any historic play.
Yeah, any historic team, which...
Yeah. Oh, they're just like this team that was the best ever.
Yeah.
Maybe these guys are the best ever. They start drawing comparisons. Unfortunately,
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm saying there's no way there will ever be another Michael Jordan. I don't care how many...
What about Kobe?
No, not even Kobe.
You don't think not even Kobe?
No, Michael Jordan in the 90s reinvented basketball.
Right.
I mean, first of all, there was no stopping him. Right, he was right. just... He came on the court, he won.
That's just the way it was.
Yeah.
He won also, six championships, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In bouts of three. Three-peats. That's the first time you heard three-peats.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a repeat is incredible.
Yeah.
But to have three in a row.
Yeah, that's... a three-peat. And Michael Jordan also just... He was just so athletic. It was insane. His dunks. If I remember my stats correctly on this, he averaged two or three dunks per game.
Wow.
If you bought a ticket to see a Michael Jordan game, you got a show. You didn't just get a game. You got a show. There were at least two dunks coming your way. Massive dunks.
Yeah. Because I know the talk everybody was mentioning was that, you know, LeBron could be the next Jordan, but not with the Heat.
You know what? I'm sorry. I'm going to hark back on an old tune on this one, but the Heat isn't LeBron's team.
No, it's not.
It's Dwayne Wade's team.
Dwayne Wade won a championship with Miami prior to all the other big name players coming over. So it's always been his team.
And he's still the head honcho there. It isn't LeBron James. LeBron James is playing a supporting role in this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's still a superstar, but it's not his team. He's not the leader of it. Whereas in Cleveland, if he had won just one championship,
yeah,
he would have gone down.
I think I told you this. I would have rather have seen him win one NBA finals in Cleveland than what, four or five or six or whatever he promised to Miami.
Yeah.
That's not going to leave a legacy for, I mean, it'll, you know, he'll go into Hall of Fame and all that stuff. But when you put together a list of the best players, he forever knocked himself out of contention for that.
You think Michael Jordan, Bulls, you think of Larry Bird, the Celtics, Kobe and the Lakers. These are players that stuck with their teams and they went on and won championships.
And their franchise wanted them as well.
Right. And then LeBron jumps ship to go to the hot hand in the hopes of just winning. So, I mean,
I understand.
From a, he's allowed to do that. It's like, don't mistake us. You know, he's entitled to do whatever he wants and he's entitled to make his own business decisions and his own career decisions. But the weight of it would have been more impactful if he had stayed with Cleveland.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate thing.
Yeah, he was the Cleveland Cavaliers before he left Miami.
He was the face not only of a franchise, but of a city. That had no...
There is a huge moral.
Who else do they have? The Cleveland Browns? Woohoo.
Yeah.
Your mascot is literally a color. Come on.
That's not happening.
Actually, their mascot is a dog, but still.
Yeah. And the Browns are actually not named after the color. The Browns are actually named after one of their owners.
So that was wrong on several counts.
But it was a funny joke.
Yes.
But still wrong.
But the fact remains is that everybody in that city, heck, everybody in the country was placing their hopes in LeBron in Cleveland. I know that I was a fan of LeBron in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I wanted to see him win. I wanted to see Cleveland win. Who else?
Cleveland has a longer championship streak than Philly did.
Yeah. I mean, who else am I going to cheer for? The Sixers? Yeah. So when Cleveland made it to the finals, I was like, yeah, you know, go LeBron, go Cleveland. And then he jumped ship.
Well, no, first he got swept in the finals.
Well, yeah.
That was pretty bad.
That was pretty bad.
Yeah, a lot of people were like, really? Couldn't win one game?
Well, it's not like they gave him that great of players to work with.
Yeah, that is true.
That's Cleveland, another...
That is true. Cleveland never gave LeBron a good supporting cast.
With the other, you know, famous historic players, you have great supporting cast. Kobe had Shaq, and Michael Jordan had Scottie Pippen, and all that, you know... LeBron didn't have anybody. Now LeBron is the supporting cast.
But yeah, that's the problem.
LeBron is the Scottie Pippen to Dwayne Wade. That Dwayne Wade is Jordan.
He almost took a demotion when you think about it.
No, he did.
He did. He's not.
Almost.
I mean, some people like to play it off that they're both buddy-buddy. Like, this is
like
this is a buddy cop movie. It's Wayne and LeBron.
This is like T.O. and McNabb. It's like it was McNabb's team, and T.O. comes in and tries to make it his team, and then they butted heads, and nothing was ever the same.
Well, unfortunately, though, they didn't win a Super Bowl. They're at least winning.
If the Eagles had won two Super Bowls with those guys, I wouldn't have cared. I would have just...
Yeah.
I would have been like, hey, you know, you can do whatever you want. Say whatever you want. But anyway,
I always feel like he took a demotion.
Yeah, he did.
This is not LeBron's team. This is Dwayne Wade's team.
He dashed everybody's hopes. He basically sealed his fate as never being able to live up to the status of Michael Jordan, unless he goes out and wins 6 or 7. I mean, if he wins so many that it becomes
if he still wishes to match the legacy of Michael Jordan, he's going to have to win 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Especially with the Heat. Apparently he has no reason not to.
Yeah.
He's on the team that he wanted to be on. He's on the team with the talent.
Exactly. Now there's no more excuses.
Yeah.
If he wins 4, not good enough. He wins 5, not good enough. Not until he wins 6 or 7 will...
But personally, in my book, he'll never be Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan... And also, you know what? Michael Jordan was also the face of the NBA, too. He brought basketball into the 90s.
Yeah.
You know,
that era, it was all about Michael Jordan.
Everybody wanted to be like... I was a 76ers fan. I wanted to be Michael Jordan. I'm sorry. I would have...
They made a movie about that, didn't they? Like Mike?
Yeah, like Mike. Space Jam is one of the funniest movies ever.
Okay.
One of the funniest space movies ever.
One of the funniest space movies?
Sorry, Looney Tunes movies. I meant to say Looney Tunes.
Is this a movie about basketball, space, or Looney Tunes?
It's all three.
All three. Would you consider it a sci-fi movie then?
No, it's not a sci-fi movie.
It's one of the greats up there with Star Wars, right?
No, it's not. It's not Star Wars.
It's time to slam now.
Is this?
We got a real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam.
Oh, yeah.
Do your dance
at the Space Jam.
Oh, you know the lyrics.
I might.
Go ahead. Do it. Sing it. Sing it.
Well,
go ahead.
This was an awesome song, all right?
Okay.
And then on top of that, they had, like, basketball, all the highlights of Michael Jordan's career. It was, yeah. You wanted to be Michael Jordan. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah.
This is very 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, you can, like, hear it saying, like, this is the 90s. This is the 90s. Doesn't it seem very 90s?
Oh, yeah. Classic 90s. Like, pop rap.
Yeah.
You know? A rap that anybody can listen
to. Family-friendly rap.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Family-friendly rap. They use euphemisms for everything.
But yeah,
LeBron will never be able to live up to this.
Yes,
there's
all right,
no way.
That you're right. LeBron James will never be in a Space Jam 90s movie, and therefore he'll never be as good as Michael Jordan. Thank you very much. I've done my argument.
That's all you had to say, Rich. If you had brought this up to all the naysayers, you would have won them all over. Like, hey, Space Jam. Whoa, okay. You win, Rich. We can't argue against Space Jam.
Welcome to the Space Jam. It's your dance at the Space Jam. All right.
We are going to come out with an LP, aren't we?
There it is. Whoop, there it is. Yeah, come on. All right, there we go. Enough Space Jam.
All right.
Welcome to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
We are willing to go to any length. Include bringing back Space Jam.
By the way, interesting fun fact, the Space Jam promotional website.
Oh, no. Is it still up?
It's still up.
I saw that. Was that a cracked article?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you want to, you can Google Space Jam website, and the website is still up.
Yeah.
And it's like horrible. It's like barely HTML.
Is it like one of those GeoCities website with like flashing backgrounds?
Almost, yeah. Yeah, it's that bad. So if you're bored...
Do you remember those GeoCity backgrounds? GeoCity websites?
Yeah. Whoa, I can make a website! Here's my flashing text!
I tried to make a 50 megs. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I had one.
Yeah, I know. I used to visit it. I tried to do one, and then I gave up like after one day. You know what I just realized? We actually have a website now. It's like actually working.
Yeah,
and like semi-legitimate.
Yeah.
Professional, yes. I said semi-legitimate. You said professional. We have varying opinions.
Yeah, you know.
We try.
It's in the ballpark.
It's in the ballpark. It's on the interwebs. You got to find it.
But at least we don't have like a .50 megs or .geocity, whatever. No, it's just thecrispynoodle.com.
Yes. Check it out. Definitely.
Yeah. All right, so there you go. That's our talk on basketball.
This is why we don't talk about basketball. We go right to Space Jam.
But anyway, it kind of brings us to another topic we wanted to talk about, is that after these finals, there's like this weird downtime in sports.
Between these two finals, there was also the Stanley Cup finals.
Right. We didn't mention
that. We totally just blew that off. Sorry.
The Blackhawks won.
Yeah. But so,
I don't know what else to say about that.
Well, I got one thing I can say about it.
Okay.
Thank God the Pittsburgh Penguins didn't win.
Yeah.
Because they could have been hockey's version of the Miami Heat. They really could have. And Sidney Crosby is worse than LeBron James.
Yeah.
At least LeBron James has somewhat of a positive image, you know, with fans. Sidney Crosby, just anybody who doesn't like the Penguins, just view him as a crybaby.
Yeah.
And I'm one of them.
No, it's true. I have heard the negative comments about Sidney Crosby. I couldn't care one way or another. I'm sick and tired of teams from across the state winning championships instead of our teams.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's been winning.
The Steelers. Why can't we win? The Penguins. Yeah. Luckily, Pittsburgh doesn't have a basketball team.
Or a baseball team. Oh, no. Actually, they do. They do this season. They do, actually. Pittsburgh Pirates are actually having a good record this year.
Don't they have, like, the lowest payroll or the lowest?
Yeah, they have one of them.
Yeah.
It's either them or Miami. One of them.
I definitely think Miami.
And well, Miami has a record to show for it. Jeez.
Yeah. Although they are getting their stuff together, because before they used to be the Florida Marlins. Now they've actually picked a city
to suck in.
They've said, you know what, guys, enough dilly-dallying. We were the whole state. Now we're picking one city. They got their stuff together.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was saying, it's a downtime in sports. After the NBA and hockey finish, then you have baseball, and then football is still months away. Yeah, so there's nothing going on in baseball right now because it's still before the All-Star break. But you had mentioned that baseball, at least, has a lot of activity in terms of trading.
Players and stuff. Right now,
one of the most active sports in terms of that.
Yeah, before the trade deadline hits in baseball, you're going to hear a lot of rumors going on about which team wants to pick up a hot player, especially teams that are in that wild card hunt and that division hunt,
right?
That they feel like they just need that one player to put them over the edge, you know, to consider themselves a contender for the World Series. So, I mean, yeah, this is when general managers of baseball make their pay, because they have to make the final call. Are they willing to make the trade that gets them the one star player? But for doing that, they have to sacrifice maybe like a couple prospects down the road,
right?
This is when all that weighing in comes into play, and it's going to start now.
And baseball is one of those sports where trading is such a huge part of the season.
It is.
Because I'm most familiar with football, so I'm just going to use football as an example.
Yeah, you're bringing it back to football.
Of course.
What is it with football? Everywhere you go, football. Go there, football. Football, football, football. Like, what the f***? Sunday football, Monday night football, Thursday football, football on Thanksgiving, football on Christmas. And out of all sports, it's the one everybody goes the most f***ing over. Makes them act like f***ing maniacs.
All right, Mike, what is your football analogy to this? I was trying to keep this as non-football as I could, and Mike is just driving it further into football.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitchin' fuck football!
I had to bring it back to football. I was just going to say how in football, there's not usually a lot of trading done during the season, because it's hard to implement players and get them on the field that late in the season. And you don't see a lot of, you know, step in and play right away, instant impact players in a game like football. Whereas in baseball, you can trade for a big name player and that guy can step in and start playing, you know, within a week and make an impact for that team.
Yeah.
Whereas in other sports, you generally don't see that.
Not during the middle of the season.
No, yeah, not during the middle of the season.
Yeah. I mean, usually trades happen in the off season.
Right.
But yeah, baseball.
But baseball, you always get those, every once in a while, you get that big blockbuster trade.
That happens like a day before the deadline or 2 days before the deadline.
Yeah, so that's really the only thing to look forward to in sports right now is the rumor mill and the anticipation surrounding the baseball trade deadline.
Yeah, and as long as you've got a commodity, you're in the trade talks.
Yeah.
You could be one of the what I said, one of those teams that are on the cusp of becoming a contender, and you're looking for that one star player to boost your profile to go deep into the playoffs. You could be a team that just needs, you know, maybe you got an injury and you need to replace a star player. You need quality talent. Sacrifice some picks down the road, or prospects.
Yeah.
This is the time when everybody's kind of taking a inventory of what they've got and what they don't have, and bringing it to the trading block.
Did we talk about this, about how you can even trade money in baseball?
Yeah, baseball you can trade money.
Yeah. So there's like so many
factors. Because there's no salary cap. There's no salary cap at all.
So you can trade money, prospects. No other sport really. Hockey does, but not to the same degree as baseball.
Yeah.
You can trade draft picks, players, money. There's just so many factors that go into it.
Yeah.
Any team can make a move.
That's right. And basketball, if you want to get into some weird trades lately, basketball, we just saw Doc Rivers get traded from the Celtics to the Clippers for two draft picks.
Trading coaches.
Yeah. What other sport do you hear we're going to trade a coach?
That's pretty crazy.
I'll take your coach for my washing machine, all right? Take care.
Oh, okay. What was that, Semi-Pro, the Will Ferrell movie?
Yeah.
The washing machine?
Yeah.
That only happens in the ABA, the American Basketball Association.
I want to see that. I want to see teams start bringing in like inanimate objects to trade. We'll trade you a team bus for this player. We do need a new team bus, guys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That might be needed.
We'll trade you our stadium for your entire team. Ooh.
But anyway, yeah, so just something interesting to bring up, the idea of mid-season trading.
Yeah.
You usually don't see that in other sports.
No, you don't. Not to the same degree as baseball.
So we'll see which general managers prove their worth, because, I mean, this time is when they either improve their image as a good eye for talent, or they ruin their careers. I mean, it
ruin their careers.
It does.
Yeah.
You make...
If you give up a lot and you pick up some player you think is going to help you, and it just completely
blows up in your face, yeah, that's it. You're done.
That's true.
Yeah. So definitely worth it to keep an eye on the rumor mill in baseball right now.
Another subject we wanted to talk about, just with all this discussion of the finals and everything going on, I had thought of something that I thought was interesting, how each sport has a different name for their championship. You have the NBA Finals. But then in baseball, you have the World Series.
Yeah, because screw the rest of the world.
Right, because no other country plays baseball except for the U.S.
Yeah, what the hell? This is America, all right?
That's right.
We are the champ of the...
America.
We're the champions of the world, all right?
In football, you have the Super Bowl. And in hockey, you have the Stanley Cup. So I just think that's interesting how each sport has their own thing. And I thought that basketball's was really boring. The finals, it's like, whoa, you know?
Are we taking an exam?
Yeah, are we taking... You all done very well throughout the year, and now it's time for your final multiple choice exam. Do you A, shoot a two-point shot, B, shoot a three-point shot, C, get a turnover, or D, do the hokey pokey? I don't know why I picked the hokey
Poor
pokey.
D is always the stupid answer.
Yeah.
Never pick D.
You ever notice that D is always like... the joke answer.
Yeah.
If you have a joke answer.
Why isn't A? I figure sometimes A should be the joke answer.
If I become a teacher, I would just make every answer on the Scantron like one. It would just be A's like all the way down, so kids would start getting freaked out and like changing them.
I think there was actually a study with that, and kids purposely would, I think it was something like 7 out of 10 kids
would switch up
would
their answers.
At least switch one of the answers. Yeah.
Because you start to get paranoid.
Right.
You
go, you're like, every answer can't be A.
There's no way they're all A.
Yeah.
I would make them all C just to mess with kids. Because the joke is always fill in C and you'll be all right.
Yeah.
Then they'll get extra paranoid.
Now, I'll tell you what. I don't know if it's just a conscious or subconscious decision here. But yeah, I would be more easy to fill in all C's than all A's.
Really?
Yeah.
So if it were all A's, you'd really get worried.
I'd get twice as worried.
Because you're saying there's no way it's always the first one.
Yeah, but C, that sounds kind of...
C sounds okay?
Yeah, C sounds all right.
What's your opinion on B and D?
B is also acceptable.
Those middle ones, it seems like okay.
Yeah.
That's not too obvious.
That's where you would throw in the correct answer.
Yeah.
D, that just sounds stupid.
Stupid?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's the last answer.
So would you be more comfortable putting an answer there? Or
no, I'd be less comfortable. A and D would probably be the least. A would probably be the next.
The next.
And then B or C.
So if they were all D's, you'd be like tearing your hair out.
Probably.
You just throw your hands up in anger and just storm out of the classroom.
What kind of creation have you come up with?
What is this madness?
Yeah.
This is madness. Madness. This is Sparta!
This is madness. No, this is chemistry. Oh, okay.
This is madness. Madness. This is Sparta!
Welcome to the Sports Sampler.
Yeah, where we talk about Space Jam and testing practices.
This is madness! Madness. This is
the Crispy Noodle!
Very nice.
All right, so do you have anything else you want to say about the comparison of the titles?
No, just that I thought the finals was boring. The World Series is kind of pompous. The Super Bowl. Super Bowl.
Hey, the World Series is America. America. On the boats and on the planes. Coming to America. Yeah!
Sports don't exist outside of America. And did you notice that football, they're world champions in football?
Well, football I can understand because nobody else plays gridiron football.
So that automatically makes us the world champions?
Yeah!
We have no competitors from other countries. Therefore, we own the world!
This is America!
We can do whatever we want, damn it.
Yeah. All right, so are we done? All right, so we're done with the title talk?
Yes.
All right, there we go.
Yes, sorry.
All right, and I want to bring up one more thing.
Okay.
Before Mike loses it.
I'm on the verge of just completely shutting down.
Oh, okay, fantastic.
Tickle. Oh. All right, well, before we get to that point,
All right.
What else did you want to bring up?
Let me carry this one, because this was my topic.
Yes, please do so.
I just want to mention that the Flyers have decided to get rid of our goalie for the last couple of years, Brizgalov. And the reason I'm bringing it up, not only because we are Philly-centric a little bit, but also that he gave us one of the best sound clips ever.
Of course.
When Brizgalov was in his glory, apparently, with the Flyers when they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals and lost to the Chicago Blackhawks.
That's right.
Who won this year's Stanley Cup Finals. When the Flyers were there and everything was looking good for the Flyers until they lost. Brizgalov gave this amazing quote about whether or not he's afraid of other teams in the National Hockey League. He said this in response to whether or not he's afraid of them.
You know, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm only afraid of bear, but bear in the forest.
Yeah.
Bear in the forest.
I'm only afraid of bear. Bear in the forest.
You know, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm only afraid of bear, but bear in the forest.
So, I'm sad to say that might be the last time we play that clip. Cause
that dude is a badass.
Yeah.
The only thing he's afraid of is bears in the forest.
And now he's afraid of getting cut, because apparently he hasn't been doing too good, and the Flyers got rid of him.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah. It's a shame, too, because Brizgalov, he was great at, like, craziness plays. When the offense decided to send, like, three players to crash the net, he was fine with that. He kept his eye on the puck the whole time, and he was fine. But when it came to, like, a breakaway one-on-one shootout, he was horrible. I don't know. Go figure. He just couldn't keep focus on a one-on-one showdown.
That is weird.
Yeah.
But
he was great when it came to absolute craziness happening.
He thrived in anarchy, I guess.
Yeah, he thrived when things were going crazy. But when it came to, like, shootouts, penalty shots, one-on-one matchups, he lost focus. So,
Wow.
Unfortunately, just can't have a goalie like that.
Yeah. Well, wish him the best of luck and stay out of the woods.
Yeah.
Right?
So, Brizgalov, don't be afraid of bears. Be afraid of finding your next job, okay?
You know, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm only afraid of bear, but bear in the forest.
But thank you for that sound clip.
Yes.
You will live on the Crispy Noodle.
With that sound
Anytime
clip.
Anytime we have a story about bears in the forest.
Well, he gets to join Gary Busey.
That's right. They can talk about bears together.
Yeah.
I wrestled a bear once. 750-pound black bear. They got a big turkey neck, and they rubbed the turkey fat all over my body and put me in a ring with a bear. And then I started to dance with the bear like wrestling. I'm allergic to bear spit. I broke out in big welts. They had to wrap saran wrap around me and then wrestle the bear. I know about bears, and I can talk to them. I can give them a signal that we're safe, like, that's the sound the bear makes.
You know, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm only afraid of bear, but bear in the forest.
So there you go.
Gary Busey and Briz Golov should go to the woods together, and Gary Busey can help him overcome his fear of bears by translating for him.
Yeah, there you go. There
should be a new one.
That is the next buddy road trip movie.
Yeah.
Briz Golov and Busey.
Yes, Briz Golov and Busey.
B&B. Briz Golov and Busey and bears.
And beer, yeah. Triple B.
Triple B, there you go. B cubed. I call the rights to that, Paramount. Stay away.
Copyright Crispy Noodle.
Copyright the Crispy Noodle, 2013.
That's the sound the bear makes.
All right, so
that's
you
the entire movie.
That's the entire movie right
all
there.
Right. Well, it only makes sense to go from one of the strangest people ever, Gary Busey, into a very strange segment we have here on the Crispy Noodle. It's time for
the side dish. Woo!
All right.
You love that sound effect.
I do.
It's a good side dish.
It's a good transition sound effect.
Yep, because you don't know what's coming. It's a side dish.
It's very reminiscent of like 60s or 70s like superhero cartoons, you know?
Woo! All right, and this one is my side dish.
That's right.
I came across an interesting find on the internet.
The internet was speaking to me. In tongues.
Well, yeah, the internet speaks to Mike in tongues. I just speak to the internet. I don't know. I don't do anything.
Oh, wait, so the internet speaks to me, but then you speak to the internet.
Yeah.
Hello, internet. How are you doing this day? Me? I've been doing fine. Do you have any interesting videos for me? Oh, you do! So
the internet was speaking to me. In tongues.
So there you go.
What video did you discover on the internet?
This is an interesting little tidbit. Jackie Chan, one of my favorite martial arts actors.
He's funny and he's a talented martial
artist. And he's a tough guy.
Yeah.
He does all of his own stunts. Any stunt that you see in a movie, it's him. It's not he doesn't have a stunt
double.
He's
a tough guy, but he's also funny and he's a good actor too.
Yeah.
So he's like a triple threat there.
Yeah. But in this story, Jackie Chan just talks about one of his first gigs as a stuntman.
Right.
Because he started out as a stuntman. That's why he does his own stunts. He knows how to do all the wacky things already. But luckily for him, he was able to be one of the stunt people in a movie with Bruce Lee.
Wow.
Imagine that. Not realizing yet. You're dealing with two of the biggest artist actors in movie history.
Yeah. I mean, two legendary figures right there.
And he talks about his first on-scene fight that he got to do with Bruce Lee, and apparently things got a little too serious on the set.
Okay.
All right, let's play the clip.
The best story for me, I think, when I was young, doing Under the Dragon, fighting with Bruce Lee, and I was behind the camera, waiting, I just see Bruce Lee, bah, 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 bah. Then I just run up, just, then he boom, pow, suddenly, my eyes all black because he just one stick right on my head. Pow! He missed it. But I do nothing. I just, pow! And I just felt, you know, a little dizzy, but it's okay. I look at Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee doesn't do anything. He look at everybody and keep acting, turn around, back until the director say, cut.
Okay, so if you haven't picked it up yet, yeah, it's a little, you know, it's Jackie. He's trying to tell you the whole story all at once.
Right.
So in this fight scene, he was confronting Bruce Lee, and they both have sticks. And apparently Bruce Lee actually hit him with the stick in the head. And Jackie goes down hard, and they don't know what to do with him. All right, so this is what Bruce Lee had to do when the director said cut, and they could go attend to Jackie.
Just turn around. Oh my God. He ran to me and lift me up. I'm sorry. And actually, I'm not pain anymore because, you know, young guy and me, very tough. But then suddenly, I don't know why, I just pretend very painful. Oh, oh, oh. I just want Bruce Lee hold me along as he can. I said, oh, I think that's the best moment. Then somehow he ran to me. What's your name? I said, my name, Jackie. What style are we learning? I said, Southern style. Oh, okay. Then talk to me, Jackie, huh? Jackie, okay.
So Jackie Chan admitted that even though he wasn't in pain anymore, he cried on purpose just so Bruce Lee would hold him longer.
See, man, he's a funny guy.
Yeah.
That is brilliant.
When else are you going to have Bruce Lee hug you?
Who can say that they've been hugged by Bruce Lee?
Yeah.
And they've,
exactly.
They've cried in Bruce Lee's arms.
Yeah.
That is, he's probably the only person in the world that can claim that.
Yeah.
I cried in Bruce Lee's arms.
Yeah, screw
Take
you.
That. Yeah. You got an Oscar? I cried in Bruce Lee's arms.
Yeah.
How about that?
Let's see that, Chuck Norris.
Yeah. The other thing I like about his method of storytelling is he tells stories strictly through sound effects.
Yeah. Did you like his sound effects?
And then I was like, pow. And it was, and then I ran up and I was like, ah. Oh. That was the entire, that was like 70% of the story was sound effects. It's like somebody reading a comic book to you.
Pow!
Pow! And then Spider-Man jumps, he goes, whoosh! And he shoots his webs, like, and then he punches him, pow! Punch! Kick! Zikazam!
But anyway, I just love that story. Jackie Chan just admitted on the internet that he cried just so Bruce Lee could hold him longer.
And you know, I don't think anyone will hold it against him.
No, it's Bruce Lee.
Don't, yeah, I don't. I think that he's even more awesome.
Yeah.
This story was funny. Puts a warm smile on your face to think that Jackie Chan is crying in Bruce Lee's arms. You know?
Yeah.
That's funny stuff. That's,
and out of it, they got a mutual respect out of each other.
And that too.
It's a shame Bruce Lee died. Maybe they could have teamed up for a movie.
Could you imagine if they both starred in a movie as like big major roles?
If like it was towards the end of Bruce Lee's career and then the beginning of Jackie Chan's? Yeah, yeah, that would have been amazing.
That would have been awesome.
You would have like a passing of the torch kind of feel to it.
Yeah, exactly. Now we'll just have to live on with this anecdote.
We'll deal with this. Yeah. We can. This is enough for us.
Jackie Chan crying into Bruce Lee's arms.
Because it was Bruce Lee's mistake, he says.
Yeah.
He hit
him in the head with a stick.
Yeah. He's supposed to like get it close to him, but not actually hit him. And Bruce Lee actually hit him.
Wow. And Jackie Chan just milked it for all it was worth.
Hey, why not?
Why not? That's right.
So there you go. I thought it was interesting.
That was a funny story. A feel-good story, too.
Yeah.
So, well, thanks for bringing that.
No problem.
Sharing that. Jackie Chan telling his story.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jackie Chan.
Yes.
Well, speaking of movies.
Speaking of movies, it's time for our entertainment entree.
Woo!
What was that?
That is a very short 1 second clip of Fall Out Boy's new song, My Songs Know What You Did in the Dark.
Okay, that was 1 second of it?
And there's a part in it where a random girl just goes, I'm on fire!
All right, then. Wow.
Yep. I love that. Just a little
I'm
bit.
I'm on fire. Instead of singing about it, you should put yourself out.
Yeah, that would be more logical.
If you like really logically like break down movies and music, it's like, what the hell is going on? And why are you singing about it instead of taking care of it?
Yeah, you might want to put yourself out.
I'm on fire. Oh, wait, I have a really good riff. Let me write this down. Who thought we could get so much comedy gold out of 1 second?
Yep, literally.
Of one song.
It literally is 1 second on my playlist here. That's a crispy noodle. We will extract every bit of funny.
You give us
from
half
a clip.
You give us half a second, and we'll drag it out as long as possible.
Yep. All right, enough of Fall Out Boy. It's not even them singing. It's some backup vocalist.
Yeah.
Just, but it's good.
It
works.
It's like 1 second of like what? Like a 4 minute song? Or yeah. Something like that.
All right. What do we got in the entertainment on track?
Well, nothing that has to do with movies or Fall Out Boy. But I stumbled across an article and the headline just grabbed me. It's about a popular video game series, Saints Row. Maybe you've heard of it.
Yeah, Saints Row. I think Gary Busey was actually on it. Yeah, he was on Saints Row 2, I believe.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, he was.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
So, apparently, if Gary Busey's on a video game, you can be happy with it.
Except for Australia.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Australia is not very happy because Saints Row 4, the upcoming sequel, is going to be banned due to unjustified evil.
Ooh, what? Is that the actual...
Yes. Saints Row 4 banned in Australia due to unjustified evil.
That's the legal term?
I think so. I don't know if it's a legal term, but that's what they're saying. They said, evidently, they couldn't cope with Saints Row's peculiar depictions of sexual violence, which were not justified by context, or its drug-themed reward systems, which is prohibited by the computer game's guidelines. So,
Meatloaf excelled to the level of dancing on a rainbow with no fear and no doubt.
What about drugs?
Yeah, what was that about drugs? So, yeah, the sexual violence is not justified by content, and the drug-themed reward system is prohibited by computer games guidelines. So, effectively, Saints Row 4 is banned from sale in retail stores throughout Australia.
It's that bad.
Yeah. Well, Australia has, generally, they're stricter with video games. They recently implemented an 18-plus rating, which allows more adult-themed games like Call of Duty, violent stuff like that. But apparently, Saints Row 4 is just far too much for them.
It's that bad.
Yes, the dainty Australians that live with...
Prisoners.
Prisoners and deadly creatures every single day. Saints Row 4 is a little too much for them. What do you think about that? Unjustified evil. Is there a justified evil?
I don't like it that art can be banned.
Yeah. Video games are art.
Video games are a form of art.
I'm a big proponent of video games as art, as you know.
Yes. Yeah, you wrote a thesis on it.
I did. My senior thesis in history was a historiography of emerging art trends, specifically focusing on video games as a new art form. So video games are art. They're protected under the First Amendment. That was decided in a Supreme Court case.
That is here in America, though.
Right, exactly. But you'd think Australia's sort of progressive. They're a first world country. They, you know, they don't have any hang-ups on that sort of stuff, but apparently Saints Row, they do.
Well, then all those people in Australia, you're going to have to buy it online or something.
Yeah, which will probably be the case.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. Banning it from retail doesn't mean that you can't go on Amazon or GameStop.com or, you know, wherever, eBay, and buying a copy of the game instead of going to a local retail store.
Yeah. I mean, do you think the game is really that bad?
I don't know. I'm afraid to say some of the things that are on the podcast, from what I've seen of trailers and stuff. It is pretty, like, it's very raunchy sexual humor, and there's a lot of violence, just like going around, like, curb stomping people and just random...
You mean like a Grand Theft Auto game?
It's a little more ludicrous than Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto is violent, but it's, well, I was about to say real world violence, but...
What?
Yeah, because...
Yeah, what's the difference here, Mike?
What I'm trying to say is it's more realistic than Saints Row. Saints Row, you have, like, crazy, absurd things going on, whereas in Grand Theft Auto, it's just shoot people with guns and drive through a park and run over people, which is still not right, obviously, but it's not over the top, I guess. See, and that's the hard distinction to make, is that...
When does a video game go too far?
And why is it unjustified evil? Is there justified evil? Is it like, you know, oh, I just murdered like 100 people, but it was totally justified. I had a reason to do so.
Yes. All those 100 people were going to start an army and kill the world.
Is there... Yeah. What's the distinction between justified evil and unjustified evil?
That doesn't make any sense, especially for a legal term.
Right. I don't know if it's a legal term. It's one of the terms used in this article. And one of the quotes is not justified by context. Yeah, wait. Sexual violence, which were not justified by context. So how is it justified by context? Is it okay to show a rape scene, but not okay to show Like, I don't know what they mean by justified by context. Like, what?
Well, how about in the
need?
Context of a story narrative or something?
Okay, so
like the girl with the dragon tattoo that right. had a very violent rape scene right. in it. Was that banned?
I don't know if it was banned in Australia. I mean, did it serve the narrative?
Yeah, it was part of the story.
Okay, but I mean, did it have a meaningful part in the story?
I mean, yeah, that's why the girl
had a dragon tattoo.
No,
I've never seen the movie, so I don't know.
It's why she has a vengeance for justice.
Okay, because of that incident.
Yeah.
Okay, so it actually shapes her character and her right. character's motives. Okay, so maybe that's what they're talking about.
But my question is, I'm wondering, did that get banned or edited or something like that?
I don't know.
Like, I don't know.
Do you want me to look it up?
Yeah, I mean, to me, that would be like the litmus test. If you're willing to go that far, that you have to ban a rape scene, even though it's part of the development of the character... I think that's wrong, because you're highlighting it to show, not that we can show a rape scene to people or something, but you're showing it as this is why the girl has developed the way she has, or this is why the girl has so-and-so tendency or something. I mean...
Okay, well, I looked up girl with dragon tattoo banned, and apparently it was banned in India for that reason.
Okay.
But I'm not seeing anything about Australia. So... I guess if it's okay, if that's okay for Australia, what makes Saints Row 4 different?
Yeah, I mean, I guess because of the fact that it's just needless.
Maybe needless, yeah.
Maybe.
Okay, well, let me give you an example. The one trailer for Saints Row 3, you go around and one of the weapons you have is a giant purple dildo. And you can...
Really?
And you can beat pedestrians to death with it.
Well, I think Grand Theft Auto did that before.
A giant purple dildo? No, I don't think you understand. Like a dildo the size of a baseball bat.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I wasn't thinking that. Okay.
Is that a little too raunchy for this?
That's the sound the bear makes.
Gary, whoa, Rich. That is unjustified right there.
Gary Busey is telling us to ditch this topic.
That is unjustified right there. I've never heard of a more perfect accidental soundboard than that.
Oh, yeah, that was totally on air. I moved my hand and it hit the board.
And that was the one you hit.
All right, Gary.
Anyway,
Gary Busey is telling us to move on okay. on the subject.
That's the sound the bear makes.
All right, so there you go.
You know, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm only afraid of bear, but bear in the forest.
One more time for Bruce Golliver on that one.
The full statement by the organization is, in the board's opinion, Saints Row 4 includes interactive visual depictions of implied sexual violence, which are not justified by context. In addition, the game includes elements of illicit or prescribed drug use related to incentives or rewards. Such depictions are prohibited by the computer games guidelines.
I'd also just like to make a point on something. I'm also not against rating systems.
Wait,
there should
you're
be
not
all...
against them?
Yeah. I think there should be rating systems.
Oh, like, yeah, definitely.
Like, for example, this should be like 18 and over.
Definitely 18 and over.
Yeah.
So if it's...
So don't get me wrong.
If it's restricted...
Kids should not have access to this. But
if it's restricted to 18 and over,
should be allowed to go get it.
If you're 18 and over, why have that rating if you're just going to ban everything that's along those?
That's questionable.
That's questionable. Yeah. Isn't the ratings? Isn't that why the rating system is in place?
It should be. You should be putting more emphasis and more enforcement on your rating system.
I think this is one of the few regulatory things that the U.S. gets right with the rating systems for movies and TV and video games. I feel like for the most part, it's pretty much on the money.
Yeah, you should have a...
Like T and M, and they have nice descriptions like drug use, violence, or cartoon violence is even. They have like very good descriptors.
You should have one for everybody, all audiences, one for young teenagers, one for older teenagers, and then one for adults.
Right. Yeah, I think in the U.S. it's E for everyone, which is all ages.
Well, those video games.
Yeah, E's, for video games, yeah. So E is 6 and up, I think, and then there's E10... I think, and that's for 10 and up, and then teen for teenagers, and then M for
mature.
17 and older, mature for 17 and older. And then you have, no game ever gets this, but AO, which is adults only. Is that 18 and over or is that 21 and over?
I think that's 18 and over.
Wait, 18 and over.
What's mature? Oh, I know. What? I know what it is.
Okay.
Technically, if you're a teenager and you're with a parental consent or something right. is with mature, you're allowed to get it.
Right. AO is.
AO is no. You
NC-17. It's the same thing as
right.
NC-17.
Exactly.
In movies. So, like I was saying, in the U.S., I think the rating systems work pretty well.
Yeah.
I've never had an issue with them. People still ask me when I buy a mature game, can I see ID? Which is weird, isn't it? Do I look 17?
Well, you're relatively,
do I look 16?
You're relatively young looking.
Okay. I guess that maybe I should take it as a compliment. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they always have.
Especially when you shave.
Yeah.
You have a huge baby face when you
shave.
Yeah,
when I shave, yeah. And then even when I don't shave, all I have is an Amish beard.
Poor
people that know what I look like unshaved know what I'm talking about.
So there you go.
So anyway, so Saints Row 4 is banned in Australia. I want to see how that ends up. But that also, like you said, raises questions about other games such as Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah, that's coming out this year.
No word on whether that's been banned.
I that's going to fall along the same lines.
I know. You're talking about a game. And this was all the lawmakers jumped all over this when they tried to ban violent video games. You can pick up a hooker. And then when you're done with whatever you're doing with the hooker, you can beat them with a baseball bat and get your money back. Look at that bitch. How dare she? She's so uptight. God.
That's what Mike says when he's playing Grand Theft Auto.
Guilty as charged. Look at that bitch. How dare she? She's so uptight. God. You can discern all that from a video game NPC. God, man. I got to be careful what I say.
Maybe.
I can't help it. Every episode, there's like something weird that I say. Sure. I'm going to bring a Hot Pocket to bed tonight. Then. Like that.
Yeah.
But so this brings me back to the justified versus unjustified. Is Grand Theft Auto's violence justified?
Well, yeah,
is running down people in a car justified?
Well, because you're showing a criminal lifestyle.
Right. But do all criminals drive down the road on a sidewalk and run over hundreds of people?
But the point is, if you're a criminal, you would have no regard to life. You would just do whatever
right.
you can
so
to escape the law.
So how is that different than Saints Row 4, where you're working for a drug cartel?
Yeah, right. It shouldn't.
So no, that's
I don't feel like
that's why I think it's strange.
Video. Bottom line, video games should not be banned.
Right.
You should have a
restrictions,
rating.
Definitely.
Yeah, you should have a rating restriction system.
Of course.
So that only adults can play the game.
And they do. They have one 18 and over. And I don't know
but
why.
But it shouldn't be banned. It should be like movies.
Right, exactly.
The rating system from the movies should be used.
Yeah, this is an NC-17
right. you would
type
put
game.
Yeah, you would put it as an NC-17 or R-rated game, whatever.
Right. I don't see it why it's getting banned. I don't know why Grand Theft Auto isn't subject to the same.
Well, it hasn't
things.
Been released yet. Grand Theft Auto 5.
Neither is Saints Row 4.
But I think that comes out sooner. Grand Theft Auto 5 comes out like Christmas.
But anyway, moving on from that talk.
So what's our next topic, Mike?
Well, I want to move on to something a little more cheerful. On America's Got Talent, there was, as you know, a lot of great acts. They had this one cute sibling duo come up, and they sung a song for everybody. How sweet.
Okay. Well, I mean, this is like the 2 weeks ago, we had the girl.
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, we had a 10-year-old girl sing a really great, beautiful song. And this week, we have a 6-year-old girl come on with her 9-year-old brother and sing a song. So instead of me just talking about it, why don't we just listen to it? So
all right,
let's play it.
What is your name, young lady?
Erin.
And you, sir, what is your name?
Isaiah.
You're the drummer, I take it. And what do?
Sing.
And how old are you?
6.
You're 6, and how old are you?
9.
Brother and sister?
Yes.
Like the Partridge Family. All right. We can't wait to hear your sweet music. Thank you.
What the hell was that?
That was an original song that they wrote called Zombie Skin.
Zombie Skin?
Zombie
How
Skin.
How old are these kids?
6 and 9.
Oh my God. What?
What did you think of, well, from what you could understand of the song, what did you think of that?
I didn't understand any of the song. I
didn't understand any of it either.
Who thought like that would be a good idea?
I don't know. You want to hear the most shocking part?
What?
They made it through to the next round.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's just because they're 6-9.
Yeah, I think it's because they're 6-9 too. Well, they claim to have other original songs. Such as...
Like what? Play Care isn't going as what I wanted to today?
One is called Lullaby Crash. I don't know what that means. And the other is Brush My Hair in Knots or something like that.
Playdate Chaos?
Playdate Chaos. Oh my gosh.
My daycare's not going right. The people are not giving me my cookies. I stuck my blocks. They get knocked down. I don't like it. And I'm going to kill that person. Juice box. Give me my juice box. I need my juice box. I said, give me it now.
Seriously, what the hell do you have to complain about when you're 6 and 9 years old?
It's tough being a 6-year-old. In today's day and age.
Why? What do you have to do?
You got
to
worry about all the cool new trends in the grade school.
Like death metal?
Like death metal.
Jeez.
Did you guys listen to any Slayer?
But seriously, I don't know.
I thought that was hilarious. But they made it through to the next round, so I don't know if they'll make it any further.
They only made it because they're young.
That's... Oh, yeah. But, yeah, I couldn't believe it. You're watching, and this, like, cute little 6-year-old girl comes out and then just starts screaming death metal.
Death metal.
And an original song, too.
But, no, I didn't even know what she was saying.
I didn't. All I heard was, like, zombie, and that's it.
Zombie!
Zombie!
It's something I learned! Zombie!
Yeah, the song's called Zombie Skin. Which is, like, really dark for a 6-year-old to be singing about.
Yeah, what the hell, man?
See, that's why I like America's Got Talent, because you get stuff like that. American Idol is okay. I don't watch American Idol, but America's Got Talent, you never know when you're going to get something like that.
Yeah, I don't know.
You're just completely baffled.
How do you, don't you have other things to...
Well, wait, here's the thing. If you foster that creativity and that musical drive now, maybe in 10,
she'll be the next Marilyn Manson.
There you go.
With one eye that's a different color and bleach in your skin and fantastic.
You never know, maybe. Maybe a lot of people will enjoy that type of music.
There's some metal, that death metal, that is all right, but like...
I've never been a huge fan of death
metal.
No,
I haven't been either, but at least I can understand what they're trying to say sometimes.
Yeah, I couldn't understand
that. I can't understand what she's saying. I really think her parents were just like, oh, this will be cute.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and the worst part is, like, let's say 10 years down the road, they don't do death metal anymore. She doesn't, or let's say she doesn't like death metal anymore. That happens.
Right. That does happen.
You know, you could like a song now, and 10 years later, you don't like it.
That's right.
She's going to have this like for the rest of her life. Yeah. That like, hey, you were that girl that tried to death metal.
On YouTube, she'll be known as
Death Metal Girl.
Yeah. Death Metal Girl.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
And apparently, in 10 years, she's Adam West. Was that Adam West?
No, that was the professor from Futurama.
Oh, it almost sounded like Adam West.
Almost.
That's right, though. That
it's
is
not what, Adam West.
Yeah, that is Futurama.
And this is Adam West.
Adam West, Adam West. A little bit softer now. Adam West, Adam West.
I would rather have heard that.
Yeah.
I want to see someone sing the Adam West song.
At least Adam West announces himself.
Yeah.
Adam West, Adam West.
So, there you go.
That's how we should do our intros. Michael Costanza. There's too many syllables.
Yeah, you have too many syllables.
You have the right number of syllables, don't you?
Rich Liebig, Rich Liebig. Ooh, we're a little Rich Liebig now.
That's the best I can do.
That's the best you can do. All right. Oh, man.
But, yeah, I don't know. Whatever. 6-year-old death metal. I don't know.
6-year-old death metal.
Whatever.
Whatever. I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I'm sorry.
I know. You're completely just baffled.
Go drink your cookies and milk or something. I don't
Go
know.
Go drink your cookies and milk.
We smash it into the milk.
Stick it all in a blender.
Yeah, it's like a little milkshake. With cookies.
With cookies.
Chunks of cookies.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Howard, excuse me, but your wife's cookies are out of this world.
What a... Who told you can eat my cookies?
Mmm. Oh, these cookies.
Put that cookie down now.
Arnold's on me. All right.
You better respect Arnold's cookies.
Yeah.
But speaking of music, let's talk about real music. You had a topic that you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, I want to bring this up. So over the weekend, I have my daily perusal of stuff that I would like to add onto my iPod.
Of course.
Yeah. And, you know, I like to go onto the iTunes store and download a couple singles here and there.
Yeah. You know, see what's coming out that's new and see if anything is interesting.
Yeah. But I've also just realized that we don't listen to albums anymore.
No.
And here's what was the ultimate realization of that. I was going through my iPod and I was playing random. I was playing on shuffle.
Right.
And it just picks a random song for you. And a song that I hadn't heard in a long time, it was You Make Love and Fun by Fleetwood Mac.
Okay.
Came on. And I was like, wow, that's a great song. I totally forgot. I forgot about that song. I haven't listened to it in at least 4 years.
It's great hearing a song that you haven't heard in a while.
Yeah. And just when I looked down on my iPod, and I was like, I wonder what album that was on, because I don't remember which album it was on. And I'm like, it couldn't have been Rumors. There's so many songs on Rumors. And I looked down, and it was on Rumors. I'm like, wow, that was a great album. And then what I did the rest of the night, I just sat and I listened to Rumors from top to bottom.
Wow.
And it's a good album. I even made a Twitter post. That's how you know it was serious. I put a Twitter post.
You had to make a Twitter post.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that is serious.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
No, well, this was Twitter. It was close.
Close enough.
Nice try, bus driver. But so I even made a Twitter post. And like people were like, Rich, you know, you're kind of a hard rock guy. You usually...
Well, there's nothing wrong with the softer stuff every once in a while.
I'm like, yeah, Fleetwood Mac is good. And I made a post that Fleetwood Mac Rumors is forever always going to be on my top five albums. It's from top to bottom, it's just a great album. Every song is memorable. And anyway, it just got the ball rolling in my head that we don't listen to albums anymore.
No, we don't.
And I would just like to throw out there to you, Mike. What are some of your favorite albums?
You see, that's a tough question.
Yeah,
because
you know what? I'll even admit this. I'll go on the record and admit this.
Okay.
I love the Rolling Stones, but a big problem that I have growing up with the Rolling Stones is every time I listen to a Rolling Stones song, it's because of a compilation album that they've released.
Right.
I've never actually gotten to sit down and listen to every Rolling Stones album, you know? The only one I've actually gotten to listen to is Exile on Main Street, which is that's a legendary record on its own.
Right.
But
that's a problem. Because, you know, a lot of the music that I listen to from the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s even, I don't own physical copies to. I own digital copies to that were purchased on iTunes or found other places online. And
what are you talking about?
No, what I'm saying is that, you know, you hear a song and you go and you find that song, you download it, and that's the last you think of that band or that album or there's one or two songs. So I have a lot of incomplete albums, you know, of just mismatched songs. And sometimes if you download it and you don't know the album, you'll just put in the artist's name. You'll just put in like, you know, Foo Fighters or something. So that is a unique part about music in modern society, is this sort of hodgepodge of music and just, you know,
we tend to just think of music as just single songs now.
It's very piecemeal now.
It's no longer it's no longer an album.
Yeah. You know, I'll go to, if I'm researching a band or an artist, you go in iTunes and you look at their various albums, I'll notice I'll have like one or two songs from like all these different albums. Like I'll have like a couple from a greatest hits album, but those were also on another album that I have other songs from. So they're all coming from different places. So it's hard to kind of bring them all together. In terms of favorite albums, I think one of the ones that I actually have most of the complete album to is Appetite for Destruction by Guns N' Roses.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know if you're familiar with the track list, but it's got Welcome to the Jungle, Sweet Child of Mine, Paradise City. I mean, those three songs right there. Those are some of their biggest songs of all time. But then you have like the classic Beatles stuff like Abbey Road and the White Album. another the last full album that I bought was El Camino by the Black Keys.
Oh yeah, that is a good album.
That was the last full album that I bought. I've bought other songs, but that was the last full one, and that is an awesome album. What about you?
I just thought I would go on a little musical.
And that's what I'm doing. I'm scrolling through my albums. I'm going, geez, I only have like two or three songs from each one, you know?
Well, first off, to begin my story, the Rumors. I love Fleetwood Mac Rumors. From top to bottom. And this was a song that reignited my passion for Rumors over the weekend. It's also that album is a classic tale of art from adversity.
Oh yeah,
that Fleetwood Mac, that whole band, they hated each other during the making of that.
Yeah,
during the making of that album, you know, they didn't know who was sleeping with who. Someone was cheating on their girlfriend. The making of that album should be a movie or something, because there's so many subplots behind how that album got released.
What else is on that album?
That has Go Your Own Way.
Great song.
Yeah, that's
an awesome song.
Yeah, that's a great one. Anytime that you're feeling, you know, that you're on your own or something.
See, I can't even find it based on album, because I was just looking to see if I have any from that album. I must have bought them from like Greatest Hits. That's the problem, is that you'll buy them from Greatest Hits albums. I couldn't even find it in my library. You said this was from Rumors, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Awesome song.
That's been featured in a couple of movies.
Oh yeah.
Casino, I know off the top of my head.
Was it?
Yeah.
Really?
It's in Casino. Yeah.
I didn't realize that. But the Black Keys' El Camino was the last actual album that I bought, and this one is one of my favorites. Gold on the Ceiling.
Oh yeah, it's a good song.
I don't know about my favorite of all time, but this is just the most recent in my memory.
Yeah, I think it's impossible to try and name your favorite album of all time.
Especially, like you said, in our day and age.
Yeah, and you know, and also your musical tastes vary from moment to moment.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. If you were to ask me like 10 years ago, I don't know. I don't know what I would have said. Probably nothing. Because I wasn't that big into music, you know? Which is another thing interesting about our day and age, is that I discovered a lot of the music that I'm into because of Guitar Hero and Rock Band.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That was a huge wave for us.
If I hadn't have played those games, I would never have discovered like three whole decades of music. All I knew was like Eminem and like... No, honestly, yeah. Can you imagine Eminem. Me back in the day? Eminem, yeah.
Aren't you hip to the rap music? Apparently Mike is.
I was a little hip to the rap music.
Oh my gosh.
May I have your attention, please?
That's 90s.
May I have your attention,
do you remember this?
Yeah.
This is all over the radio.
Yeah, you couldn't get away from it.
Yeah.
I repeat, will the real
but,
Slim Shady,
yeah, the real Slim Shady.
Oh my gosh.
We're going to have a problem here.
Is this like the only time we played rap on the song?
I think so.
I'm afraid if this is going to get bad, so I'm just going to take it out. No, because I honestly don't remember the lyrics of the song, so I don't know what might happen. You don't want to be like that Little Kim song that you tried to play that one time.
Whoops.
In podcasting, you make an error.
Yeah, it happens.
But no, this is a fun discussion about albums and stuff. You want to hear one of my favorite albums? This
what?
Is totally going to throw you for a loop. You're never going to be able to guess.
Okay.
It's not even like traditional like rock or alternative music. Les Mis.
Oh, like the original?
Yeah, like the soundtrack to Les Mis.
Okay.
Yeah. I actually have...
A musical.
Yeah, a musical.
Okay.
Those are the only things that I have like full albums to, are like musicals and stuff. Other stuff is like three or four songs, with the exception of like certain bands that I'm really into, like the Beatles or Guns N' Roses or the Black Keys. I have their full album. I'm just looking. Green Day, The Who, Tommy...
Yeah, there you go.
Quadrophenia, right? Two rock operas. Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd.
Another band that I love getting the full album for is Coldplay. My favorite song by them is Clocks. That piano medley
awesome.
Is just hypnotic.
It is. It is.
But that whole album is great, too, if you ever get a chance.
See, another example, I got that song off of, like, a ripped CD or a burned CD, so I don't even know, I couldn't even tell you the album name.
It is A Rush of Blood to the Head. There's a couple songs on there that are just also memorable, between The Scientist on that album. There's also a song called Amsterdam, which is very emotional.
Yeah.
And inspirational. And then there's also a song called A Rush of Blood to the Head. That's also pretty good.
There you go.
So, I mean, you know, I it's just interesting. I wanted to bring it up.
It was an interesting discussion, because just right there is a great example. I have that song. One of my, like, it's an awesome song. I love that song. Didn't know where it came from. I just had the song. Go. Yeah.
Yeah, check it out. And I would like to issue a little challenge, if I may.
Okay.
Issue
away. Challenge.
Challenge accepted.
I don't know. Just if you get an hour, this next week, if you want a little crispy noodle challenge for you, I want you to go through your CD collection and pick out a favorite album and take an hour out of your busy day and just listen to it.
The whole thing from front to back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Take your favorite album, set aside an hour. Usually most albums are an hour, unless if it's like a double.
Yeah.
Release or something. That's something different. Then that's up to you. You're going to have to determine how you pace your own time. But take an hour out of your busy week.
Here's one to start off with. I was trying to find where these songs came from. It's Led Zeppelin 4.
Oh.
It's one of the greatest albums
Led
of all
Zeppelin
time.
Led Zeppelin 4 is awesome.
Stairway to Heaven, Rock and Roll, Black Dog, Battle of Evermore, When the Levees Break.
That is awesome. Yeah.
That's one of the few complete classic rock albums I have. That's just amazing.
Yeah, that's another one from start to finish.
Legendary. And anything by the Beatles either.
Yeah, Beatles is also
good.
Can't
go wrong with the Beatles.
But yeah, Led Zeppelin 4 is also on my top of the cream of the crop album list.
Definitely.
But anyway, I just figured I'm going to throw it out there. Challenge to everybody listening. To you, Mike. I'm going to keep an eye on you. No, I don't know. I don't know. But take an hour out of your busy week.
On your commute to and from work.
Maybe even on your commute to and from work, and sit down and listen to an album. It's amazing because it kind of just separates yourself a little bit.
In the order that the songs are supposed to be played.
Yeah.
From front to back, not, you know, shuffle or random.
Right.
Or,
detach yourself.
Yeah.
It's an exercise in detachment.
When I work, I like to play like Tommy or Quadrophenia by The Who, because it's meant to be played in, you know, a specific order, because all the songs fit together in a sort of rock opera type thing.
Yeah.
So not only that, but the music is sort of very like, it kind of like puts me into an easy frame of mind. So, but that's a good challenge.
Yeah. I just wanted to throw it out there.
Yeah.
Take an album, your favorite album, or it could be a new album, maybe something new you want to discover. I don't know, whatever.
Something you want to try out. And
dedicate an hour out of next week. And see what effects it'll give you, because
that's a good idea. That is a good idea. Yeah.
Thank you, Mike. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
So that was an interesting conversation about how we consume music nowadays.
Yeah.
It's not how people used to consume music.
Right.
At all.
It isn't. All right.
So, well, music.
Music.
What is that? I know what that is. That's music.
There you go.
Oh my gosh. What is that? I remember that.
The Twisted Sister.
That's right. He sounds like the worst thing in the world for him.
That's music.
That's music. Well, I guess it's that time of the episode when we start to go a little crazy.
All right. It's time for our non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back. Get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom, because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Woo!
All right.
This is our regular dose of odd news for you. You never know what you're going to find in the crazy odd news portion.
I know. I always get so excited for this segment, because you just never know what's going to happen.
All right. So you ready for our first story?
Yep.
In London, a watch adapted for the James Bond movie franchise nearly sold for £104,000 at a pop culture auction on Wednesday after being bought strapless at a car boot sale for originally £25. In U.S. dollars, that equates to $160,000 this watch went for.
So it didn't even have the strap on it? It was just...
No, It was just the actual...
Just the actual watch.
Yeah.
And the person bought it for 25.
Or he originally bought it at a car boot sale for 25 pounds.
I bet the guy that originally sold it to him was like, I hate my life right now.
Ah. Get the music going.
James Bond music. Yes. My watch is very valuable.
The Breitling Top Time. That's what the watch is called.
The what?
The Breitling Top Time.
Top Time?
Top Time.
Okay.
It was worn by Sean Connery during 007's mission.
It was worn by Sean Connery.
Yes, it was.
Very good.
It was worn by Sean Connery in Thunderball when he had to find stolen atomic bombs, and the watch doubled as a Geiger counter.
Wow.
That's a good watch. Yeah. The auction house, Christie's, said that this was the first watch to be modified by Q Branch in the Bond movies.
So that was the first instance of them modifying a watch for James Bond.
Yeah, that's the first time he had a different watch.
And what, maybe you would know this, how far along in the movies was that? Like, how many movies
That was the fourth movie.
The fourth movie?
Yeah.
Is when they started modifying watches?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
They only expected it to sell between 40,000 and 60,000 pounds, so even the auction house was surprised that it went for this high.
They were wrong.
They were wrong. It was made in 1962 and adapted by the James Bond art department to be a Geiger counter in the movie.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
So 104, you say 104,000?
104,000 pounds.
Wow. That's 160-some thousand in U.S. dollars.
That's right.
That's an expensive watch right there.
Yes, it is.
And that's not even with the strap. You got to pay for a strap.
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't come with a strap.
And, of course, you have to buy a strap that matches the quality of the watch. So you have to buy a $100,000 strap. Right? That makes sense.
You have to buy a good strap.
A good strap.
We're not messing around here. You bought a James Bond watch. You might as well go all the way with it.
Hopefully you don't wear it out in public, because you don't want to mess something like that up.
Yeah, you're going to keep that.
You don't want to lose it, right?
No. All right, you ready for the next story?
Of course.
A 60-year-old man whose lifelong dream was to take flight in a lawn chair using helium-filled balloons tried to this Saturday, but his record didn't go quite as planned. His name is Joe Barbera, and he took off from his home on Saturday morning. He originally tried to go 268 miles, which would have been the record, and he wanted to land in Oregon. But instead, his contraption landed in a 40-foot tree in the middle of Gifford Pinchot National Forest.
Oh, no.
Barbera was able to radio for help, and a Skamania County search and rescue team had to locate him 24 miles deep into the forest.
Oh, my gosh.
Rescuers were able to bring him down safely. Barbera had planned to use an oxygen tank, but he had to ditch it with other equipment before the launch because it was too heavy with him aboard the balloons. There were a lot of defective balloons, and we were forced to get rid of everything that were just dead weight.
Oxygen, we don't need that.
That included his shoes, oxygen, his food, and some of the computer controllers.
So, was he still planning to go 260 miles with no food or oxygen?
Yes.
Okay.
A fellow engineer, Kevin...
He wasn't going to make it anyway.
A fellow engineer, Kevin Cyrus, said, essentially, the craft was just stripped down to just Joe and his chair.
And he was still going to try and go 260 miles like that.
Yep. And Barbera took off...
He would have died.
Barbera took off with 80 balloons, rising to 21,000 feet above the ground, which is much higher than he anticipated.
Whoa, I didn't want to go this high.
So he had to pop some of the balloons on purpose, which led to his emergency tree landing.
It's just like completely ruined from the very start. He starts off by saying, oh, it's too heavy. I'm going to get rid of all my essential survival gear.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to fly up like quadruple the amount of feet that I intended. And then I'm going to pop my own balloons to get me down further, at which point I crash into a 40-foot tree in the middle of the forest.
Sounds like a good plan.
That sounds like an excellent plan.
Barbera and what he calls his, quote, redneck engineers.
Yeah, really?
Have been working on the lawn chair for over a month. He even cleared the project.
Wait, isn't it just a lawn chair with strings and balloons?
He even cleared this project with the Federal Aviation Administration.
Well, you have to.
Are you kidding me? Nobody said, like, hey, this was a bad idea. You might want to tone down this a little bit. No.
That's a really bad idea, sir. I don't care. I don't know why I gave him a Southern accent.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
Except the FAA.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, the FAA did agree to it.
Yeah, Facebook, the FAA apparently liked it, loved it on Facebook.
They did. I mean, that plan just seems doomed from the start. When you start an expedition by getting rid of your survival supplies...
That's usually not a good start.
It's usually not a good sign. That's like saying, I'm going to tackle Mount Everest, but I'm not going to bring a jacket.
The crew should have seen trouble coming. Really? Because according to Kevin, Barbera's team had also tried an unmanned test balloon earlier this month and lost track of it.
Oh, God. That's horrible. Could you imagine if he was in the balloon and they lost track of it?
Oh, well, there goes... What was his name? Joe. There goes Joe.
Bring out Nick.
Who's next?
Next. Come on down on the Price is Right.
On the balloon Price is
the
Right.
The balloon Price is Right.
Yay!
In our first showcase, we have a lawn chair with balloons and no survival supplies. Rich, what is your bid?
$1.
$1.
Did I win?
And the actual showcase price is? I don't know.
You gotta have a price.
I don't know. How much do the long chairs cost?
$20.
$20. You win the showcase.
No, I don't want to win the showcase. Oh, nope. You won. You gotta won. Get on the balloon.
You gotta go up in the balloon. An all expenses paid trip to a forest.
20 miles deep into a forest.
You'll experience lush trees with lots of branches, small woodland creatures, and of course, horrible scratching branches.
Woo!
This can all be yours on The Price is Right.
There you go. Good job, Mike.
Thank you. I try. I think it's ridiculous how there's so many bad signs and they still decide to go through with it.
Yeah, Joe was like, no big whoop.
When they say they worked for months on their lawn chair, it makes it seem like there's like huge like rocket scientists building a contraption. It was a lawn chair with balloons tied to it.
Yeah.
What are you figuring out? Well, let's see. We got the string here. We got it. Yep. That's about it. What do you got to figure out?
Apparently
they said they worked for months or something like that.
Originally they had a container for his food, a container for his oxygen.
So it's a lawn chair with buckets on it.
It's got buckets on it.
I mean, come on. It's not that extravagant, I don't think.
It also had a GPS on it.
Oh, well, that's where the planning came in.
But he decided to take, you know, the GPS away when it left.
We need to get rid of some of the weight, so I'm going to get rid of the oxygen, the food, the clothes, the GPS, and yeah, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, that should work.
That should work. No, don't add more balloons. Get rid of your survival supplies. Oh, boy.
Well, there you go.
All right, so does it get better or worse with the next story?
Well, let's see. You ready for the next story?
Of course.
The Knoxville Zoo must have a pretty good Yelp rating because a black bear was spotted breaking into, not out of, the zoo this Monday night.
I want to be captive.
The bear had to climb a 10-foot-tall chain-link fence.
Man, that bear was determined.
Around the zoo's perimeter before a zoo ranger spotted the unauthorized visitor and alerted staff. The staff, suspecting the bear might be one of their own, did a count of their residents and found out that none were missing and deduced that this was a wild black bear.
And they just left it in there. They said, hey, we have black bears now.
You know, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm only afraid of bear, but bear in the forest.
Uh-oh, Brzgalov might have been afraid of this guy. Because this was a wild black bear.
It was a wild, but it wasn't in the forest. It was in the zoo.
The police were notified and zoo rangers began to search the interior of the park. But then the bear was not seen again. They believe that...
It just disappeared.
They believe that the black bear actually climbed back over the fence shortly after making its covert entrance into the park.
It climbs in and goes, wait a second. This doesn't seem right. This isn't a tree. I've been tricked. And it climbs out.
That's the sound the bear makes.
That's what it said.
The bear's current location is unknown.
Oh, God.
They're warning residents that the wandering black bear might be around.
Did they check all the other animal cages? I mean, did they check the bear area?
The bear's break-in stands in contrast to Rusty the Red Panda's great escape from the National Zoo in Washington, D.C. last week. In that instance, Zoo had to alert the public on Twitter and Facebook that there was an escaped red panda.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
That panda was able to come home a short time later, and he's okay.
Are pandas dangerous?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Either way, that's a horrible job to have. It's like, all right, Bill, get on the Twitter and tell everyone that animals are escaping from the zoo.
But do it in a non-threatening way, okay? Yeah. Good. Good job.
We know you love our animals, so to bring them closer to the community, we have set them free on your local towns.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
Well, there you go.
Escaping,
watch out.
Escaping pandas and...
A black bear breaking into the zoo and then getting out of the zoo before anyone noticed.
We don't know if it got out. They said they couldn't find it.
So what, you still think it's in the zoo?
I don't know. It could be. It could be hiding somewhere.
They did a count and they had the same number of bears.
Okay, well, it could be hiding.
That's a hell of a smart bear.
Hey, if it broke into a zoo, right, that's a pretty smart bear.
I wrestled a bear once, 750-pound black bear. They got a big turkey neck, and they rubbed the turkey fat all over my body and put me in a ring with the bear. And then I started to dance with the bear like wrestling. I'm allergic to bear spit. I broke out in big welts. They had to wrap saran wrap around me and then wrestle the bear. I know about bear, and I can talk to them. I can give them a signal that we're safe, like, wee-hee. That's the sound the bear makes.
Get Gary Busey on it. He'll help you.
Yeah, get Gary Busey and
Bruce Golub.
Well, no, because he's afraid of them.
No, this is the plot.
This is the plot of the movie.
Yes,
this is Brizgalov and Busey.
This is the plot of Brizgalov and Busey. We got it.
You know, I'm not afraid of anything. I'm only afraid of bear, but bear in the forest.
There we go. We can do it.
Two men, separated by their love of bears, are forced to work together in order to save the zoo-going public. This summer, Brizgalov and Gary Busey team up in Bear Escape. Or Bear Break-In.
Bear on the Run. Coming,
coming Bear this on the Run. Right.
We searched the zoo so much for the bear on the run. Bear on the run. Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Bear on the run.
And you don't want to do a singing episode. Why don't we
Oh my gosh. We might, by the end of this year, we might have enough tracks to put together a CD.
Oh my gosh. I want to hunt all of them down and write like actual lyrics to them. Bear on the Run.
Bear on the Run, coming this Christmas.
That'll be like the credit music for the Brizgalov and Busey movie.
Coming this Christmas.
Coming this Christmas.
The Crispy Noodle CD.
Featuring such hits as Flock of Taxis.
Yeah, we had Flock of Taxis.
Bear on the Run.
Yeah. We had another song.
We did one where we sang The Odd News. I can't remember what else. There was a few others.
We're doing too much singing.
Okay, so that was Bear on the Run.
Welcome to the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Yes.
It only gets stranger, trust us.
Yep.
You haven't seen the most of it yet.
Yeah, we're not done yet. We still got two stories.
All right. So, what is our second to last story?
This one is Jersey.
Ah, Jersey.
Yeah.
Good old Jersey.
Police in New Jersey said that a man was caught driving a Kia from a dealership just after midnight.
That is a punishable offense. You're not allowed to drive Kias.
Was that a diss at Kia?
No, I don't know. Is there more to the story?
Well, he did it illegally.
I thought he was just driving a Kia.
No, he wasn't supposed to.
Oh, he took it from the dealership.
Yes.
Okay.
But when the officers pulled him over, he said that he was, quote, just taking a test drive.
And this was at midnight?
Yeah, at midnight.
Okay. Right.
Police were patrolling near the Kia dealership in Mount Olive when he spotted a 2014 Kia drive off the lot at 12:09 a.m. The sergeant pulled the vehicle over and the driver told him that he had driven his own car to the dealership because he was looking at new cars and was taking this one for a test drive.
No, it doesn't work like that. You don't just take the car off the lot at midnight.
That's not how it works.
When nobody's working there.
How did he start the car?
The sergeant said that the vehicle had the keys in the ignition. So somebody left the keys right in the car.
You know what? This was a setup. No, I'm serious.
Okay.
One of the workers left the keys in the car and told his buddy, the keys are going to be in this car. Come by later. Just drive it off the lot. Nobody will notice. Don't you think?
You think it's a setup?
I think it's a setup.
Well, if he is, he took the fall for it because he was arrested on charges of burglary and unlawful taking of means of conveyance. It's a large...
Yeah.
It's a really long
Wait, read
charge.
That back. Means of conveyance.
Unlawful taking of means of conveyance. That's the legal
it's like
title.
Stealing a vehicle.
Yeah, just say... just say Grand Theft Auto.
Grand Jesus. Theft Auto.
Everyone knows what that is.
Well, no, because what happens if you steal a train?
Grand Train Auto.
Grand Train Auto?
Wait, no, that's the wrong thing.
That's Grand Train. Grand, what did you say? Grand Train Auto?
That's stealing a train and a car, both.
This is such a grand train. Grand Train Auto.
Whoops. The new video game from the Crispy Noodle, Grand Train Auto.
It's banned in Australia, though.
You can get away with stealing a train. You can get away with stealing a car, but you're stealing a train and a car?
You can't do that.
That is inexplicably evil.
Unjustified evil.
Unjustifiably evil. Yep, sorry.
Yeah, stealing a car is justified. Stealing a train is justified. Can't do them both at once.
No, that's too much.
You steal the car, you drive it onto the train, and then steal the train. Grand Train Auto.
Grand Train. The new game coming from Crispy Noodle Productions.
Oh, we're into video games now.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're doing movies, music, and video games.
Yep.
And of course we're doing radio, so
we got everything covered.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, okay. I got one.
I don't even remember what that story was about. I think somebody stole a car, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, let's get one more. I got to get one more story here.
Okay. Is this the last one?
This is the last one.
All right.
69-year-old... Okay, I'm not going to say his name.
What is it?
Wadslaw?
What?
A 69-year-old.
Let's call him Mr. W. What was it? Wadslaw?
W-L-A-D-Y-S-L-A-W. I don't know how you...
I didn't even catch half of that.
It looks like W. Lady Slaw.
Let's call him that.
Okay.
W. Lady Slaw.
Okay, a 69-year-old had lived in the U.S. for about 30 years, but when this New Jersey resident fell into a coma, he awoke to find himself in his native country of Poland.
This is the worst trip to a hospital ever.
The New York Daily News reports that this man fell victim to a growing phenomenon in which uninsured immigrants are deported by U.S. hospitals because they
really
do not want to get stuck paying for the treatment.
Oh my gosh.
Imagine being carted around like a sack of potatoes, says the Polish Consul General Iwa Junkin Ziomeka.
Wow.
Boy, these names get better.
Yeah, they do.
He argues that this man, the 69-year-old W. Lady Slaw, was placed on a chartered flight while still unconscious.
I'm sorry, sir, you can't check that bag. How do you transport a person in a coma? You don't do it on a commercial flight, do you?
Records,
or do you just drag him in and put him in the seat next to you?
Records show that he never gave his consent to being shipped to a hospital in a country that he had not lived for decades.
Really?
The guy, W. Lady Slaw, had reportedly fallen on hard times in recent years. He had recently lost his apartment and job and was forced to relocate to a shelter. When he fell into a coma, that's all he remembered, and then arrived and woke up in Poland.
And he was in Poland.
He was unable to verbally communicate with the hospital staff in Poland, and he was estranged from his two daughters, who one of them had to come and pick him up.
Was the daughter in the U.S. or
was in Poland?
Poland. Okay. That would have been bad if he calls him and is like, yeah, could you come pick me up? Sure, where are you? Poland.
So there you go. Falls into a coma.
Could you imagine,
and wakes up in Poland.
Could you imagine like falling asleep and waking up in a different country?
I don't know.
I mean, that's what that's like.
And there you go. That's what I have in the non-fortune cookie odd news.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, there you go. And there's the celebration music. It means it's time to end the show. What a crazy show, Mike.
Like always. Is there any other word to describe us?
No, there isn't.
Maybe insane.
Well, make sure to follow the Crispy Noodle on Facebook. Search the Crispy Noodle and you should get to our page. Remember to like it and love it.
And hit it.
And hit it. Yep.
Everything that Facebook does.
Yep. And also go on Twitter, search at the Crispy Noodle, and you'll find our official Twitter page. And also go to the website, thecrispynoodle.com.
That's right. Make sure to also subscribe to us on YouTube. Just search the Crispy Noodle. And you can get all of our highlight videos. And remember, most importantly, subscribe to us on iTunes.
Yep. So you get the latest episode of the podcast when it gets released.
That's right. And you'll get all the most interesting stories in sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever the heck else we want to talk about.
Yeah. I think that'll do it for us. And our own Twitter links. I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig.
And I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
That'll do it for us. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That'll be it from us. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.